Within printed page rests fates unseen, doused in ink and laid between. Shadows lurk within your findings, to other realms and beyond the binding.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Beyond the Bindings. I am Max Lopez, and today we are going to cover the story Eric by Terry Pratchett, which is the ninth Discworld book. And the original title of this story is Eric / or Faust, with the term Faust crossed off. And this was published in 1990, and it was originally, when it was published as Terry Pratchett and Josh Kirby. And that has no relationship to Jack Kirby, who is an incredibly large influence in comic books as a whole. Although they are both ironically artists and share a fairly unique last name, I would think. They have no relationship to each other, at least as far as the very brief amount of research I did. But Josh Kirby is famous for his work on all of the Discworld covers. So when I was originally introduced to Discworld, these were the covers that I had seen. I was actually in England at the time, and they were the ones that I was mainly finding on the shelves in bookstores when I was buying the first couple of Discworld books. So it very much is, his art style is very much what I imagine in my head as this, like, I don't necessarily imagine Discworld as a cartoon in my head, but it is kind of, it's very quirky and animated in certain aspects of how I actually visualize it mentally. Now, again, this was published in 1990, and it is the ninth Discworld book. So I'm moving along. I guess when I finish the next one, which is called Moving Pictures, I will be about one-fourth of the way done with all the Discworld books. So good to know. I'm excited to continue to read through them. I still have, I guess, like 32 of them to go, which is kind of interesting to think about. It'll probably take me a while, especially with reading several things in between always. And also reading these, I use these as in-between books, and I also read books in between reading these books. Kind of fascinating, huh? And so this is an interesting story. Like usual, I mean, whether the Discworld books are rooted in just simply in satire, or they are rooted in actually parodying a old legend or some sort of story, they all kind of revolve around that same idea of poking fun at things that have existed in our real world and bringing them to the disc and allowing them to exist within that quirky world that is the Discworld. Now, Faust is an actual German legend about a man named Johann Faust who makes a pact with the devil at a crossroads. So a fairly familiar story, or a aspect of a legend that has been changed in different ways in different countries, and the United States being one of those for sure. And in exchange for his soul, he receives unlimited knowledge and worldly pleasures. And I've never read this before, but I would assume that this doesn't go the way he would like it to go, because any situation where you get to make wishes or anything really grants you something that is astronomical, this giant thing that you receive, what you are getting taken from you is going to be worse. So it is definitely rooted in that idea of like what our desires are, and like what extent humans as a whole would go to just to receive their ultimate desires is pretty drastic. Just because, you know, I don't believe in the devil, right? But overall, if I was going to write a story and somebody was going to make a deal with the devil, that deal is not going to turn out well. And why anybody who believes in such entities as a devil or demons or Satan or whatever you want to refer to these things as, why they would think they would ever play out in their favor is questionable, because only if you were to not know of the existence of these things would you ever really think that, you know, maybe this will actually work out for me. I mean, you know, I guess you got to have a lot of faith I suppose, to believe that something like that would actually work. So yeah, this parodies this Faust story, which is again a German legend, and they seem to cover it. Harry Pratchett seems to cover it pretty well. So this story is called Eric because it revolves around this 13-year-old Eric who lives in a city called Pseudopolis, I believe. And he's 13 years old, and he's a demonologist. So he's very curious and interested in demons and the summoning of demons and kind of everything that revolves around this. Now, Eric is one of the main characters, but along with Eric, we get the return of an old Discworld friend, Rincewind the Wizard. So if you have read any of the Discworld books, you would know that Rincewind, at the end of the events of Sorcery, gets stuck in the dungeon dimension. And he's actually been stuck there ever since. And the dungeon dimension is basically Discworld's version of hell. So he is basically dead or living as an entity in this dungeon dimension or their hell. And he's summoned as a demon into reality by Eric, because Eric is practicing his demonology and trying to summon demons. Well, too bad for him. And if you're also familiar with Rincewind as a character, it's certainly too bad for him. And he ends up getting Rincewind, which would be, it would be like if you wanted to go, if you were like, take me to the best hamburger in the world. I want you to bring me to the best hamburger spot in the entire world. And somebody brings you like McDonald's. That's like the equivalent of this. If somebody asks you for a wizard, you'd want Gandalf, but then they bring you Rincewind. That's kind of what's going on here. He doesn't want this demon. He ends up with this demon, and he wants the demon to grant him these wishes. So in kind of the same way, he's making this exchange in some way with Eric, similar to that Faust story. Now, Rincewind has no idea of any of this or why any of this is going on, and he doesn't believe that he's just going to be able to snap his fingers and give Eric these wishes that he has. But to his dismay, I guess would be the best way to put it, he is able to do these things because he was summoned as a demon, so he is given the abilities of a demon within this reality setting. So kind of fascinating. And Eric wishes for three things, and I'm just gonna mention all three of them right now, and then go and touch just a little bit on each one of them and how the parody kind of continues to flow and kind of wiggle its way throughout the rest of this story and bringing in other parodies of famous stories from human history. So Eric wishes for three things. He wishes to be the ruler of the world. He wishes to meet the most beautiful woman in all history. And he wishes to live forever. All of these things backfire on him. You should have assumed that just based on these sorts of deals that you read in stories, making deals specifically with creatures and entities that have foul intentions, you would just assume. Now, although it is Rincewind granting the wishes, you have an idea that this is coming from some higher up place where it is a little more, where they're kind of turning the gears more, and Rincewind is just kind of a catalyst who is the one responsible for actually snapping his fingers and traveling throughout time, really, is what happens. So when he wishes to be the ruler of the world, they actually end up going back in time. It's really cool. There's this kind of metaphysical scene where Rincewind and Eric and Eric's parrot, who I'm not really going to get into, are floating like above the disc, and the way Terry describes it is really, really interesting. And then they end up traveling back in time to this world's version of the Aztec Empire, and they're about to be sacrificed, and there's this whole thing, and it really kind of all it all kind of ends up not in the best place, really, for Eric. So and really in the best place for all three of them at this point. And so they end up meeting this world's version of Ponce de Leon, and he's going to get sacrificed. And then all this stuff happens, and it's almost as if by the end of it, they're all about to be sacrificed. And so they end up making another wish at this point. And this is when he wishes to meet the most beautiful woman in all of history. And this part is where Pratchett is parodying specifically the Helen of Troy story. Helen being the most beautiful woman in all of Troy. And the giant war that is started over her specifically. And we meet Discworld's version of Odysseus, which is really hilarious. And he uses a lot of... things that if you're familiar with the Iliad, you would know that like these things are happening over like this war is happening over a long period of time. And, you know, the woman that Eric meets when he does get to meet this version of Helen is not at all what he expected. He was expecting like a young woman, you know, 20, 21 years old, and she's like a mother and she's like 45 or 50. So not getting exactly what he's expecting out of it. And he's very upset about it. Eric kind of takes for granted everything that's happening. I guess why wouldn't you? But he never really reflects on the gravity of everything that's specifically going on and those sorts of things. And then the final one, which is actually my favorite one, was his wish to live forever. And I am going to go a little bit more into detail with this one just because not even specifically into detail, but so to live forever, you would think like starting right now, I would just never die, right? Well, what this wish actually implies is that you are going to live forever from the beginning of existence, beginning of all time to the end of all time, which sounds miserable. Living forever sounds miserable. But to live for all of time, and this is what Eric was not intending on this, but so they go back all the way to the beginning and they realize very quickly that, oh, this would be the beginning of every single thing. And this would entail that I am going to live until the end of time. So billions and billions of years, you would assume, right? And it does kind of make you think about that question. Or that wish, I guess, not a question, of living forever. And I'm going to erase, like, it is humorous that Pratchett said, like, oh, living forever would mean literally living from the beginning to the end. I just mean, I want to kind of put a microscope on. Starting right now, you're given immortality and you can live forever. I mean, I think all stories that have ever tackled it have always done a great job at looking at, like, what you don't think of, because like even so, if you were to have your significant other be able to live with you, or you know, have a mortality with you, you would assume that there would be a lot of issues that would be created around that. Or if you were the only one who was granted this immortality, you would watch so many people die. I talked about this when I covered that book, How to Stop Time by Matt Haig. Just that idea of living forever just really doesn't seem very appealing. Just because you would see so much heartache, you would have to deal with losing so many people that you love so dearly. And you would really see humanity almost as if it was in a way that it was not meant to be seen, I think personally. Just because if you were to get, like we look at this small little snapshot of life that we get to see. And it's really hard not to view everything that has happened as being, you know, kind of terrible to a certain degree. Like there being a lot of awful things that humans have had to witness over a period of time. And if I was born 150 years ago, I really wouldn't be that knowledgeable on all of the things that had happened throughout all of human history. But having the luxury of being born, you know, in this generation, in this century, you don't have to, us as a whole, we do not have to, but it naturally you learn about everything that's happened in the world, and you get this giant perspective of what the world is. But there's a good portion of it that we didn't live. Actually, the majority of it, we didn't live. And now you think about that and you put it into this immortals world where I did live through all of it. I did have all of it. It's not just a knowledge, it's an experience. It's something that I lived through. It's something that I dealt with. And that would be traumatizing, just as a whole, to have the weight of all of humanity, all of humanity's history on your shoulders. Not just the knowledge of it, but the experience of it as a whole. Which makes it something that, like, even more so, like I said, I would never want this in the first place, but it makes it even more scary. And it makes it even more, something that you don't, like, I would never want to have to deal with the weight of all of that. I think that just living a normal lifetime comes with its own anxieties and its own amount of stress. I don't think having to have that kind of centuries worth of human history on your shoulders, I don't think that would be healthy in the first place. And I don't think it would be worth it. Like, there are certain things that I want to see, right? There are many things I want to see, like, happen in this world. One of them being, for instance, if extraterrestrials on other planets exist and we find out about them or come into communication with them or whatever it happens to be, I would like to know that before I die, right? I don't want to stick around any longer than I'm supposed to because of it, but it is something I would like to know. And I'm not some ancient aliens, you know, what do they call them in that show? Ancient astronaut theorists, I think is what it's called. Regardless of that, I do believe that life exists on other planets, because with the, not on planets in our solar system, but if you think about the immensity of our universe, like, it would be almost selfish to think that this is the only planet that it happened to work on. It's just unrealistic. So, again, I'm not going to get into my beliefs on aliens or whatever, but we'll find out eventually, and I fear that I won't be here anymore for it if it takes that long. So that is one thing I would like to live to see. But really, the point I'm getting at is it's not worth it for me to live immortally forever just to wait around for this thing that might never happen, because, you know, those extraterrestrials, they might just not want to, you know, speak with us or interact with us. We've certainly given them plenty of reasons to not want to come down here, I would like to think, at least. So I guess this story just kind of made me think more on that point of, and that's really kind of why I like this last section the most, is it put that into perspective a little more of, it's not just about what you're going to have to experience in your future. It's, if you're very specific on living forever, then you're going to have to go back all the way to the beginning. And although the idea is cool and also very fun to read in a story, not something I necessarily want to experience myself. I think I will just continue along the regular path of the normal human lifespan. And I hope you guys all agree as well. Now, did I love this story? I did. I like this story for a couple of reasons. It was really short. I basically read it in two sittings. I thought that it was a little confusing exactly what was going on. Just so many times when Pratchett, he does such like a curve and like twist of reality that you really got to stay on your toes and make sure you're focusing and following along in every little detail, because everything kind of plays an important role, whether his stories are 200 pages or I want to say this one is, this one's like 148 pages, pretty darn short. So you got to still pay, you know, you still got to be there ready for any twists and turns when you read these Discworld books, because they do happen. And it's certainly something you want to be on your toes with. But Eric, excellent, right? I'm moving on right now. I'm in the middle. Actually, I'm close to finishing it because I read Eric on an airplane and then I was on vacation. So I'm recording it a few days later than normal. But right now I'm reading Discworld number 10, which is called Moving Pictures, which I've really enjoyed so far. And I will be continuing. Actually, I'm going to stop with Discworld there. I'm not even going to go back to Stephen King right away. I'm going to do something a little bit different. So thanks for joining me today. I hope you all enjoyed it as well. And go get a library card if you don't have one. Super, super easy way to get your hands on some of these Discworld books. And as always, I am Max Lopez, and this is Beyond the Bindings.